You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. We're going to start real hot and heavy here on Wake Up Tucson. Good morning to Bruce Ash.
Good morning.
How are you doing, sir?
Great to be here. 3 hours of great radio ahead.
We shall see. We can...
The proof is in the pudding, brother.
That's our aspiration. This is great radio. Corey DeAngelis is going to be calling in very soon. And, of course, he is a national... He's just been on all over Fox News and these other places. And, of course, he is the... It comes back to me now. It's the National Federation of Children... Senior Fellow. That's my dream. I want to be... Maybe I'm going to change my title. I'm going to be Senior Fellow at Wake Up.
You're too young to be a Senior Fellow. You can be the junior or the middle-aged fellow, maybe.
The middle fellow at the Wake Up Tucson Foundation is what I'm going to be. So he'll be calling in just momentarily to talk about this massive expansion of empowerment scholarships that just passed the Arizona legislature.
One of the truest things John McCain ever said was education is the civil rights of the 21st century.
That's true. And I want to appreciate John McCain for doing nothing to help anyone get there.
That's right. Well, he was good on the quotes, not so good on the follow-up.
Yes, my friend. Again, my favorite... my two favorite John McCain moments is when he told me to stop lecturing him on the air. This is years ago. Because I said, hey, Maverick, do you think you could use your maverickness to balance a budget? Right? And then Frankie Cheesesteak, God rest his soul, was here the same time, and he made everyone sausage, pepper, and egg sandwiches for Food Friday. And Johnny Mac was on before Frankie. So Frankie's putting together the sandwiches. Johnny Mac was he didn't have security. He had one media kind of assistant girl, right? And then other than that, that was it, right? And Frankie gives him his sausage sandwich wrapped in aluminum foil. John's got it, right? And then he left it on the counter when Frankie came in. And Johnny Mac's walking out the back door, and Frankie goes, hey, Senator, you forgot your pepper sandwich. You forgot your... Thank you, Frankie. You're a great American. And then John left with his sausage sandwich.
Did he ever enjoy that sandwich is a big question.
I don't know.
May never get answered.
It's one of the great mysteries of life. We got our good friend Lisa from Gospel Rescue coming in this hour.
Be great to see her.
They got some good updates of what's going on over at the Center for Opportunity. And then we have my friend Elaine Beck from Blessings Through Action.
She's a wonderful person.
She is. And she has an exciting announcement that's actually very timely with what went down with the Roe v. Wade thing on Friday. We have a scrubbed media story at KVOA, Matt Neely.
With bleach?
With bleach, because nothing's there.
Like Hillary to a server.
Did you say like Hillary to a server? Hold on. Hold the hell on there. Thank you very much. Woo! We told you the story. It was by Victor Reyes over at KVOA. This is the one where Kozachik said he had to go, you know, Mr. Bravado. Mr. Egomaniac. We're already working on a deal with the city attorney and the Pasquayaki where we're going to make an abortion safe harbor over on Oracle and Grant. Or
and casino.
And abortion. Did he say the word casino?
No, but that was the plan.
That would be perfect.
That's a real destination resort.
We offer a variety of risks here at the
soul of
Oracle
Tucson.
And Grant.
The soul of Tucson.
Now, his newsletter comes out, and he says everything I said there was wrong. He walked it all back. It actually made Channel 12 NBC News in Phoenix last night, this story. Umpire John was up in Kachina Village up in Flagstaff watching it, and he said, holy crap, the Kozachik story's playing on 12. So now it's really hit the fan. But, you know, this is part of this thing we'll talk about before it's over. The not-so-great Homeland Security guy, Becerra, that guy? Is that? No, not Becerra. The other,
no, that's Mayorkas.
Health and Human Services. Sorry. He
transporting pregnant women across state lines to get abortions.
Correct.
It's on the table. It's an option we're looking at.
Yeah, to federal abortion.
Forget about the Hyde Amendment. We're way past the Hyde Amendment now.
Federal abortion tent cities, basically.
What was that whole thing about, you know, transporting minors across state lines for the purpose of whatever? That was a federal law?
Right. It's a whole other can of worms over there, bud.
It's like surreal.
So let's do this. Let's go to break, Matt, and then I'll text Corey and see where he's at. And
wake up, Corey. Damn it.
We'll get to the story where Amazon employees would like business to cease in all pro-life states and allow time to grieve about the Dobbs decision.
Wow.
So I'm going to text Corey. We'll see where he's at, 790-2040. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, Chris and Bruce. If you have any things you'd like to, you know, type to us that are nice or nasty, wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. Oh, here we go. A little McCoy Tyner on a T-Day. Love it.
Tavares on T-Day.
All right. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Bruce Ash, Christopher DeSimone. You know, we're going to do the story without Corey DeAngelis. That's the best part. So
we don't need no stinking Corey DeAngelis. We can make this stuff up as we go.
So lost in the, let's say, tsunami of coverage on the Dobbs case, Doug Ducey is about to sign a new law that will allow every one of the state's 1.1 million students to take advantage of an education scholarship to attend the school of their choice, public, private, religious, or charter. School choice advocates call the legislation the new gold standard for student freedom, one that will be a model for states across the country to emulate. And an ESA is a decade-old state-funded account that allowed some parents to spend up to $6,400 on anything a student needs. Up till now, it's been limited to special needs students, those in badly failing schools, and kids on the in the Native American nations. This upcoming year, legislative analysts believe that 25,000 kids, double the current number, will use the expanded program and have up access to $6,400 a year. So, you know, this is something I think, you know, guys like you and I have been hoping for.
Right.
And, you know, it kind of felt like all of a sudden, even though I know it always felt like there was something holding us back. We're in a very narrow margins in both the House and the Senate. Right, and then we got this done. I wasn't expecting this. Possibly to get done in this matter.
No, if nothing else happened this session, this was worth having the session. And it's something that is going to revolutionize the competition within the government school system and other education centers as well. It's just a great opportunity for Arizona's kids.
And, you know, for all of the – you're going to hear all the whining. Right, from all the TUSD zombies and all this stuff, you're robbing us of this kind of funding. And
do better for crying out loud. You know, right. And parents have been telling school boards now for about the last year and a half, you're not cutting it. We're not satisfied with the results. Why are you teaching our kids this when they should be taught that? If you don't like the school district you're in, go someplace where you think your kids can do better. It's a natural sort of a phenomenon. It's free market.
I love the self-inflicted damage that the public schools on the status quo have done to themselves, right? And it really, there's so many things that they've done bad, right? In relation to, of course, they don't teach people to read, do math, or learn things. That's a big problem, right? Number two, this really gets accelerated because all these people wanted to go into hard lockdown mode.
Yep.
When the Rona came, right?
Right.
And remember, that summer, the Europeans sent their kids to school.
Yep.
And they showed through, I think, three different studies, three different countries, that sending kids to school didn't get anyone else sicker or anything right. like that. But they just had to do it. And what happened was when you sent those kids home and they had worse academic outcomes. Oh, and their parents, who were locked down also, who had to work remotely, now got to see the joke of a school that their kid really went to.
Yeah, that's where it really started. that's where this revolution really started.
Yep. And so then they got pissed off. And then what did they do? The mama bears started showing up to the school board meetings. Right?
Yeah, the terrorist moms?
Well, thank you. thank you, Attorney General Garland.
It's a step down, isn't it? Jeez.
So then they go to those meetings, right? And those school board members acted horribly, right? Their reaction was either shutting them down, yelling back at them, the how dare you moments, right?
All they're supposed to do is smile and nod their head and say, next, please.
Right.
that's their job in a public sort of a session period in the meetings.
And then all these Dems that cry about funding. Right, you'll see that on some of these political signs for these Democrats. It just says increase school funding, right? Well, it's more than half of the entire budget now is going to K-12, right? I mean, that seems to be a pretty good investment in education. A half of a, well, we're at 16 bill this budget this year, 15 to 16 bill, right?
That's yes, a good, that's 15.8 billion.
Yep, so a good amount of dough, right? And then when Doug Ducey caves to Red for Ed,
right?
And they get them their 20% increase. And the first school district locally to screw those students, sorry, those teachers out of the 20 was the TUSD school board, right? And they only got 10.8 or whatever it is.
That was just malicious sort of abuse of the law.
Right. And so it's kind of like, so now it's come to this point, right? It's like that employee who really sucks, right? You've had that employee, you've been too nice, right? They finally did that. They've been screwing up for like the last 2 years. You've been way too nice of a boss. Then they finally do the big screw up. Then you fire them and they go, what? Why would you fire me? Well, I don't know. Let's get your employee file. It's about an inch thick with complaints. We should have done this a year ago. That's the moment I feel like is happening with this.
You know, the 25 or 30 years or so of bad education in schools is now showing up in the business sector, in public sector businesses.
Right.
We can't find accountants. We can't find people who are, you know, manager grade material. Because why? And we're having problems in engineering, in the sciences and so on, because they just haven't been teaching children the right way, whether it's elementary or secondary. We have a dearth of talent. There's not enough people.
And what's happening, like in the accounting world, right? I know companies that basically are taking their entire accounting process, and they have a company out of Denver doing it for them, right? And the magic of technology is, all right, I can't find anybody here. I guess we'll just farm it out to someone else who's not even in the state,
right?
So what are we doing here? In the end, right? So, and you're right. We've seen it in relax. They always complain about what these chamber losers, right? With workforce development, workforce development, workforce development.
The only people who believe in workforce development is JTED,
right?
The Potthoff Foundation. These are people who are actually doing it,
correct,
and putting money into it. You know, and JTED, of course, is publicly funded, but those are real workforce generators.
Well, but the thing is, I keep saying that you can't be serious about workforce development,
right?
Unless you fix K-12,
right,
in the public schools. Well, now
reading, writing, arithmetic,
right?
Please.
So now here's the other thing: all of these school choice people have to now. This is one of the biggest things they screw. Higgins and I have this discussion all the time. They screw up on. They don't market enough to let the parents know that they can get out of their crap school.
Why would they want to do that? That's not in their interest.
Well, whose interest?
It's not in the, if you're saying.
No, I'm saying the private and charters of the world
okay.
Need to do a better job of saying, you can get the hell out of.
I thought you were talking about the government schools not marketing that enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like.
The charter schools should have been doing a lot more in way of recruitment and advertising and marketing and so on.
And now with this opening, they got to go out there, right? You got to go out there and say, mom and dad, you have, and grandma and grandpa, right? Because a lot of those grandma and grandpas are raising these kids nowadays.
Yep, unfortunately.
Right? And you say, look, we're open for business. We will figure this out. Right? You can. And the other thing is you will also see a lot of these schools, because the magic number is $6,400, right? You will see tuition start magically happening to be $6,400.
Sure, because if you have more kids in these schools, the tuition goes down because the number of students goes up.
Right.
And the facilities cost, you know, still remains the same.
This is huge, right? And the best part is all these jokers that we know in the K-12s, right? They're not ready to adjust to this.
No, they're going to fight it. They're going to fight it like crazy.
They're going to get worse. So for an example, Lawrence was telling me that, like, so at Valencia Middle School, right, when he called up and he gave us the end of the year what went on TUSD, right, kids being 2 or 3 years behind, yeah. He was talking about they kind of got a drug problem. I think he said 20 to 25% of the kids think could be on something at a school, right? And so he was telling me that basically they asked if they could have drug-sniffing dogs come through on the weekends, not when the kids are there.
Oh, God.
And it got shot down in administration. Well, why would you do that? Right? Are we supposed to have safe,
Right.
Isn't that in the TUSD commercial? We have safe, non-stone schools.
shouldn't schools be drug-free as opposed to gun-free?
I'm with you. Yes, sir.
Didn't Lawrence say he thought it was 1 in 4?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That was the 25% I said before.
Sorry. I'm listening.
I love you, though.
Let's not chide Matt. He does know math a lot.
He does. He does. So I will tell you that this game changer of this ESA expansion. And again, wait. Look, who at TUSD, as young Zach would say, we're gonna pivot, right? Aaron, none of them are gonna pivot. What do we got? I got Adelita Grijalva, right? And that crew—they're gonna pivot. Bullcrap. They're gonna double down on the ideology, right? And AmFi, that school board's gonna do something. They're lost over there.
Well, they're gonna do something if the right people are elected in the fall.
Right.
At AmFi.
And Mona Gibson and Jeff Hutch.
That's right.
And you guys got to, I know you're all paying attention to Carrie Lake yelling at everyone saying I'm appalled and all these other things. These school board things, huge. Huge. Especially in this day and age now, huge. So there's like, there's two or three people running in Cat Foothills, I know.
Three good candidates.
Right, we got Utch and Gibson for AmFi.
Right.
Right, which is going to be good. I got Val Romero and Luis Gonzalez running for TUSD. And then I got a variety of folks in Vail. Some of them are, I think, good, and some of them probably hang out with Nasty Wadsack a little too much. But we'll figure that out before it's all over. Christy, Simone, Bruce, Ash, and you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk.
Linda Ronstadt covered this one. This is Doris Troy's version. She had a hit with it in 1963.
All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. Bruce, what were you saying?
Slow dancing in junior high.
Absolutely. Beautiful. That's a nice version of that. I like that. So thanks for opening our minds, Matthew Neely, to the music. We appreciate it. It's tea day today. Tomorrow is you. And I don't know if we should do U and V together, possibly. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow, the ultraviolet day tomorrow, the UV day. So we'll do that on Wake Up Tucson. I just got a call from Corey DeAngelis, and he's like, well, isn't this tomorrow? I go, no, when we were talking yesterday, tomorrow was today. It was a little bit of a Bud Abbott and Lou Costello bit, but he's calling at 7:07 now, Matthew. Let's get in trouble a little bit. Let's talk about the
Oh
goody.
Do we really have to?
Bruce, your wife's on the phone. You better get going. Now, I want to talk about this governor's race a little bit.
Yeah.
The governor's race. Okay. So one of my Facebooker friends said, hey, you need to check out Carrie Lake on Bret Baier. And what I love first and foremost is she definitely knows how to do presentation. Wherever she does her side of the video, it's the best camera you can buy, and it's got the filters and it's got everything. It's like going to, you know, I don't know if they still have those places at the mall where your lady can go to get the glamour shot. you know, and they have the soft filters, and she's looking very kind of mildly sensual, right? I feel like
it's kind of a glow coming
off. It's the glow, right? Carrie's got that. She's got the glamour shot filters going at high def. High def. Right, and then she's got then it has the effect of what's behind her is distorted out a little bit. I mean, it's something else. Okay,
well, she writes her book though. All of her books will be in back of her.
That's correct. So, Bret Baier asked her about the 2020 elections, right? And she talked about how, you know, that it was all stolen, right? And then he brought up the Rusty Bowers, stuff, his testimony, at January 6th and all that. But then he moves to the drag queen story. All right.
Dun, 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 dun.
So this broski who's been a longtime drag queen, right? So after she came out on her like an official quote, she's attacked drag queens as dangerous to children that attended but she said they're dangerous to children, but she's attended the shows of this drag queen named Richard Stevens for 20 years and once hired to perform at her house. And do you care to address that?
Everybody does, don't they? Doesn't everybody?
Not me, young man. All right. So what happened was she got to, this is the new thing. With all of these people who are the bomb throwers on the Republican side, all right, and this is Carrie Lake and some of these LD17 candidates out there, the moment you hit them, they get all insulted. Right, nothing is their fault, and it's your fault, and your and she was appalled that he would even ask her this question. Right,
she can't handle the truth.
Right, right, and she goes, "Why are you asking me about this when you could have been talking about stolen elections?" And Bret Baier goes, "We just spent the last three questions
talking about stolen elections for a year and a half now."
But the previous three questions were about stolen elections, right? And then she goes, "I'm really disappointed in Fox." This is the new line. I thought you were better than CNN. If she came on this show and I asked her the question I want to ask her, right, which is how did you go from TV flunky to Mar-a-Lago for an endorsement? Just tell me that story. I want to know that story.
Carrie with an eye went with Kelly with an eye.
That's what it's got to be, right? Because if Kelly Ward doesn't walk Carrie Lake to Donald Trump, no one cares about Carrie Lake.
Or knows her, yeah.
Right? So he says, so what's interesting, Carrie Lake says, "This is a person who I covered for decades, 20 years. He has never been to my home." We'll see, right? "That's ludicrous. He's lied. We tried to serve him defamation papers." So now she's legally going after this guy, right? Have you seen the pictures of Carrie Lake when she's dressed as Elvis with this guy? I mean, she went the other way in her pictures to hang out with this guy.
I saw it.
Right? So anyway, he goes, "I don't want to ask you these questions. I'm asking you to address them." Right? And she went to the all insulted thing again. Everything is, you're the lamestream media, go to hell and whatever. Right? I want to win a general election in the end. Right? When the heat really gets turned up on Arizona, when this governor race comes and she's the Republican candidate, is she just going to keep yelling at people? Is that what? And is that going to win general
elections?
It's working
for Joe Biden real well, isn't it?
Yes. Does he have the lowest historically presidential approval ratings ever?
Well, maybe Harry Truman was lower for a while.
Right. I mean,
Millard Pierce.
And so then I was thinking, then the other thing is, right, so you got KTR, right, who again makes me laugh with her outsider stuff, right? I mean, KTR.
She has stopped saying the conservative outsider.
Thank God. I mean, when Doug Ducey puts you on the Regents board, you are drinking insiderness like you're drinking Gatorade.
Right.
Please. I mean, she goes to all the best Republican soirees in Paradise Valley humanly possible. I mean, you're a land lawyer married to old man Robeson. You are drinking insiderness like you would never believe. So please, KTR, please stop. Okay. But then let's get to Matt Salmon. Okay. who I think Matt, of all of the three of them, might be the best, actually, have the best abilities to be the governor of Arizona.
I agree.
Right? Worst campaign ever. Is this the worst campaign you guys have seen? He has so many things about him that he doesn't even talk about, right? And I was telling this to Barney because I know Barney's friends with him, right? And I said, let me go look at the endorsements for Matt Salmon, right? Now, I had to learn from Barney last week when he wasn't taking phone calls that Jeff Flake and John McCain both endorsed Matt Salmon's opponent when he ran in the primary.
That's huge.
That's huge, right? Because everyone says he's a McCain rhino.
Right.
Right? Because everyone loves to throw rhino. That's the other part. Someone asked Kerry Lake or these other people running in LDs with their, you're a rhino and you're a rhino, right? And remember, Kerry Lake was a Democrat 2 years ago.
Right.
Now all of a sudden she's a rhino expert, right? Can someone please define what a rhino is for? Ask Kerry Lake. What exactly is a rhino? No, don't tell me it means Republican. What is the elements of a rhino?
What are the qualifications?
And she'd be like, I'm appalled. What's going on here? What are you, MSNBC? But Matt Salmon. So who's the first endorsement on Matt Salmon's page? It's Andy Biggs. And if there's an endorsement that could balance out people who say, well, Kerry like Donald Trump, like, you want to have their brains start working a little more? Andy Biggs. Why is it? I know Andy Biggs, they've known each other for years and all this stuff, right? But he's on the Salmon train. Why doesn't Matt ever say that? I don't get it. Why isn't there in a commercial from Andy Biggs saying, hey, I've known Matt Salmon for 20-something years. He's a true conservative. And
Matt, if you're listening, you're getting good political advice for free right now.
I mean, I know you have, you know, the classic Maricopa 24-year-old smarmy consultants running around. Stop. This is important, this ag governor thing. What did we just look during these lockdown things, right? Right? This position, all these positions matter, but this one's huge,
right?
Right, and then you have this, you know, what's going on in the world of the abortion issue. You have the economic train that's running here. We just had this empowerment discussion that we'll have again with Corey DeAngelis. We better have a governor who knows what the hell's going on,
right?
Oh, we got to win. So Katie Hobbs, we know she has racist tendencies, even though Raheena Romero seems to ignore that all the time, right? But they'll figure it out. They'll gloss her over like you would never believe. Right? And so we need to win generals. I know everyone, oh, it's going to be a red wave. It's cute. I hope it happens.
The best candidate has to come out of the primary that can win in November.
Right.
And Matt probably is that person. And frankly, KTR, if she won the primary, I'm not sure that she's going to be the conservative. I'm not at all convinced she'll be the conservative that she says she is. And I think that the legislature, even if we maintain majorities, is going to start drifting further left.
All right, let's go to break. Lisa's here from Gospel Rescue Mission. Bruce Ash, Christy Simone, Corey DeAngelis at the top of the hour. Elaine Beck's going to join us in the third hour. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk.
From Wilcox, Arizona, Tanya Tucker.
Tucker on a T-Day. We got Bruce Ash, of course, and of course he hosts Inside Track on Saturdays. And then we have our good friend Lisa Chastain from Gospel Rescue Mission. How are you doing, young lady?
Good, good. Thank you for having me.
So we've had an early monsoon season, things raining, you know, raining on Father's Day weekend and all this craziness. What's going on out there for your folks?
Well, it's great for Tucson, right? We need the rain. But as always, it flushes people out of the wash. And, you know, between the heat and the rains and the monsoons and the upcoming monsoons, our numbers increase,
right?
Which is a great opportunity for us, you know, because if that's the only reason that they would walk through our doors, then we have the opportunity to really get them the help that they need.
And change lives.
And change Instead lives. It's all about that.
Putting out Band-Aids.
No, right? no Band-Aids here. So real help, dealing with real issues and getting really the transformation that they really need.
Have I seen you since Easter blessings to go? I don't know if I've seen you since then.
I don't think you
how
have.
How did that event go?
It went fantastic. You know, that was our first hybrid event where we did a sit down as well as a drive through, and it was fantastic. We served, I can't remember the numbers now, maybe 2,500 meals.
Oh, my Lord.
But in addition to that, you know, handed out resources to the community, and it was a festival-like environment with fun for the kids, and it was a great, great showing of people. You know, I always battle with this. Oh, the numbers were great because we, you know, we want to work ourselves out of a job eventually, right?
Right.
But there's always those people that are in need, especially now with the economy, etc. We're glad to be a help to those that have a need.
We were just talking off air, me, you, and Bruce, about how you guys are, like other people out there, are in a pretty heavy need of new employees.
Yes. Yeah. We are short on workers. We have about 20 jobs that are available right now. And with our numbers increase, obviously we need the staff to accommodate the increase in numbers. So if you're interested, if you're compassionate towards to those that are experiencing homelessness and those that are in need in general, please go to our website, grmtucson.com/careers, and check us out.
I was going to look at what kind of jobs are we looking at for people
we
who are listening right now.
From operations jobs, you know, which is safety and security and IT, and some admin jobs, as well as direct services. So those that are dealing directly with the guests, being guest services, recovery coach managers, recovery coach, life coaches, you know, it runs the whole gamut. So again, if you're interested in this type of work, want to learn more, please go to the website to check us out.
So real quick, I went on the careers page. So workforce development advocate, safety and security patrol, outreach and events coordinator, donation center specialist, maintenance, line cook, network and computer systems tech. So there's a variety of stuff here. Transformation recovery coach, shelter advocates manager, shelter guest advocate. So
News flash to millennials. If you really are serious about curing homelessness, this is an opportunity for you to help and actually get paid for it.
Amen. Thank you, guys. You did a great job with that. So thank you for getting the word out.
Talk about what's in now is the whole picture of what you need, what you plan to have at the Center of Opportunity on Palo Verde, is that all filled out now with all of your partners, or a little more to go?
We're still growing, Chris. You know, we're just walking through those doors of opportunity as they present themselves. I don't think I've been here since we broke ground with the medical respite, which is going to be operated by the Catholic Social Services, and that is post-hospital care for those that are experiencing homelessness. It's a great need in Tucson, and we're so glad that they found a home with us at the Center of Opportunity. So that'll be a 50-bed facility will be, wow, you know, built in a year. And also the dog kennel. You know, I've been talking about that ever since I think I've been coming on your show about how needed dog shelter services are, as well as the homeless services that we provide, because sometimes people, you know, only have their one companion in a dog that they, you know, live in the desert with, and they'd rather live in the desert than being separated from their only companion. So to have those dog shelter services is very, very important to us. So both of those are going in the last piece of dirt that we actually have available at the Center of Opportunity. So we're still looking to grow.
Okay. And the dog parts. I realize that more. Hanging out with Gene over at Sister Jose, that I realized the dog situation is so important.
Look on almost any corner, and the homeless who are there are almost always with a little doggy.
Right, yeah. So how can we serve one without the other? If that means that we need to provide shelter services for the dog in order to get the individual the care that they need, that's what we need to do. So we partnered together with an organization out of Phoenix called Love Pup, who's coming to Tucson and to handle that for us. So we're very excited about that.
So
who would, you know, it's really inspirational to hear you talk about the doggies, but also the post-hospital respite. I mean, who would have... You really have to be engaged in looking and observing and knowing what the issues were. There is no place for somebody, because these folks, when their hospital time is over, I mean, boom, they're released much faster than anybody with your regular insurance.
Right.
I think this is just outstanding.
It's amazing.
I've never heard of this.
But you're right. You could have someone who had an injury, right? They encounter the cops. The cops take them to the hospital, right? They get sewn up, whatever. And then it's like, oh.
Right. Yeah, and they still need medical care, and we're not a medical facility, so unfortunately we can't help them until now. So, you know, it was kind of mimicked from Circle of the City, which is in Phoenix and very successful in Phoenix, and you know, Catholic Community Services has been working on this for years, and so we're glad that they landed there, and we're getting started on it. But you ask any shelter in town and they have taxis pull up, you know, to the shelters with somebody still in their hospital gown.
Wow.
And you know, we scramble to try to find a place for them. So this is gonna offer a huge need.
So a certain city council person whose last name rhymes with Blozacic decided he wants to do a tent city for homeless people, right? And so when you, as someone who's trying to help make this a better and convert lives and make it better and, again, work yourself out of a job, when you see that, is that something that's missing in this equation? You know, I'm looking for you as an expert in this on what, you know, is there a different group of homeless that's not the homeless you're dealing with that works well for?
Yeah, you know, I have a differing opinion about that. I'm not a supporter of, you know, housing first movement or out of sight, out of mind philosophy, if you want to call it that. We need to really address the root issues of why people are homeless. 80% of the people that we see, it's because of drug addiction and mental health, and most of the time both. So let's address those issues. So I don't care what you're going to do, if you're going to do bridge housing, if you're going to do what tents, but it's got to be wrapped around with services that really address the root issue and not just, you know, a band-aid, like you said, because throwing a broken person in a house, they're still broken. So it's not going to be beneficial to them. It's not beneficial to the community. And it's certainly not beneficial for our homeless numbers in the long run. So we're really trying to address the root issues to decrease the number of homeless in Tucson, not just to throw them away in a tent or throw them away in a home.
Is there like a almost like a best practices nationally in relation to what you're trying to do? Like kind of like here's the manifesto of how to change lives, whether you're faith-based or not? Or is everyone, there's that always that thing, we all have our silos.
Mm-hmm.
We all say we're going to do something, but in the end, because we're all these silos doing different ways of doing it, maybe we're not making the dent we should be making.
Yeah, I think there's different philosophies around that. But we're about collaboration. We know that we're not the be all and the end all to, you know, to decrease the number of homeless in Tucson. We need everybody working together. So we really need to proper vetting, you know, to really get to the bottom of what somebody needs. And, you know, beyond what the city's doing, I mean, there's so many great nonprofits that are out there tackling this problem, and it's going to take all of us. But until the city can really embrace the good work that the nonprofits are doing and not just focus on the city programs that are failing, you know, it's a disservice to us as constituents. It's a bad use of taxpayer money.
What's a city program that's failing? Let's go right over the edge
housing
together.
The Housing First program.
Oh, okay.
And not to say that that doesn't work for some, but it certainly doesn't work for all. And so that's what I mean. Let's work together to really address the issues and place people in the appropriate place for them to, you know, get life transformational services and programs and get them off the streets.
Talk about right now, we know fentanyl. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're sick of talking about fentanyl. What's the fentanyl effect on the folks you're seeing right now?
Well, they're dying. You know, that's the hardcore reality of it. Somebody gets a bad hit of fentanyl and they're dead before they hit the ground. And it's sad and it's heartbreaking. And, you know, that's another one addressing those core issues, right? How do we decrease the amount of drugs that are trafficking through our city? You know, so there's groups that are tackling that. We all have our parts, but there's so many. It's just multifaceted on, you know, the causes of homelessness and what we can do to address that. But, you know, but I stand by, you know, our methodology, which is treatment first, not housing first. We certainly want to get people housed. That's our goal as well. But maybe not first, maybe second or third. You know, let's really get them stable, get them the help they
need. You said
it
to me when I met you over at Center of Opportunity a couple of months ago. You said, if you have a broken person and you're putting the broken person in a house, they're still broken.
Right.
So, all right, grmtucson.com. Again, this is something that we love for you to support. They're doing the good work of changing lives. And if you know someone or you need a job, go to grmtucson.com and hit the careers button. So,
thank you, Chris.
Keep up the good work.
Really appreciate it.
I'm sure I got you in trouble with this interview. So, I love getting you fired up on this. I know you're passionate about it. So, have a great
day.
Thanks for having me. Keep up the good work.
You too.
Corey DeAngelis for real. For reals is calling
No kidding.
Talking about the expansion of ESAs. Wake up.